The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Union Broadcasting, Inc., Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, or its employees. The host is solely responsible for the on-air content.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one. Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
107, 108, 109 degrees. Doesn't matter how hot it is outside, folks. It's climate controlled here in the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510. Fellas, what is hotter, the temperature outside or our Kansas City Royals?
Not the Royals.
Not the Royals?
That's an easy question
is
to answer.
An easy one?
If by hot you mean the temperature of the seat that maybe Ned Yost and or Dave Moore is sitting on right now, then you might have an actual question.
Oh, very nice.
See what I did there?
That's well done.
Was that some synergy on our shoes there?
For just that, I will announce you first. That is the dulcet tone of Jeff Herr. I am Chris Kamler. You got Troy, Royal Man Olson. You have Michael, the Hitman Engel, and Jeff the Studman Logan from the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. Folks, we got a good show for you today. We had a great show for you last week. Want to thank again the Honorable Mayor Slade James, Kurt Nelson from the Royals Baseball Hall of Fame, George Toma, future inductee for the Royals Hall of Fame, and Mike McCartney, the voice of Kauffman Stadium. Thank you, fellas, for making last week a very memorable show. You can hear that podcasted on echonetwork.com. That's ekohnetwork.com, also at royalmanreport.com. We've got all our shows up there. We got all kinds of craziness going on. I do want to briefly touch on condolences to the family of our very first guest on the Kansas City Baseball Vault, Mike Hershberger, Major League outfielder for 11 seasons and Kansas City A for 4 years. He passed away a couple weeks ago. He was our very first guest, and we do appreciate and extend our condolences to his family, and our sympathies go out to him. I know I saw you guys on the Facebook page that you had some condolences out there.
It was kind of a surprise, you know. He was not that old, of course, and when we got the news, it was shocking. He had concealed it from us a long time, and that's why he was unable to travel all these years for the reunion. And he always wanted to come and was unable, and just sad news.
Yeah, and our condolences go out to them. On this week's show, we have Tyrone Brooks, who is the director of player personnel for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're still in first place, aren't they? They're rocking and rolling. Guy by the name of Andrew McCutchen. You know that
pretty
guy.
Good.
He's not bad. Yeah. We'll talk to Tyrone about him, and you know, maybe what the Royals might be able to do to follow in the Pirates' footsteps. In the second half of the show, we will have Oakland A's and Kansas City A legend Sal Bando will be on the program, played with four-time All-Star, three-time World Series champion. He was, of course, the captain of the great championship teams of the Oakland A's, started his career in Kansas City in 66 and 67. We will talk to him in the second half of the show, and then we will have much frivolity and fun, I promise. And frivolity can start anytime.
We're not going to make Shane blow up back there and try to slam four guests into an hour.
We're just going to have two guests instead of four. That's all right.
Will we have them both on the phone at the same time?
No, we will not.
Can we get them together?
We did double four. We doubled his pay for last week, so we gave him twice as much of nothing. So that's great.
Hooray,
fellas! Royals lost today, 6-1. They faced some guy named Felix Hernandez. Is he? He's a pitcher, I guess.
He's fairly good. Fairly good job. Yeah, you could say that.
We were talking in the break that you probably, not that we condone betting or gambling of any sort, but you could probably have maybe put a house payment on the fact that Hernandez was going to pretty much carve up the Royals, and it sounds like that's what he did. Not been a good week.
No.
For Royals fans, Royals folks. You want to kind of walk us through that, Mr. Engel?
Oh gosh, I mean,
no.
We come out of we
does,
come
does
out.
Does you
of,
want to? No.
Just even going into the All-Star break, you know, the Royals really didn't play very well, and then coming out, they faced the White Sox. Good chance, you know, start the second half outright. You get the division leader. They come out, they lose 2 out of 3. Both of those were one-run games, including, you know, just an awful blown save and 14-inning game. And then the Mariners come into town, and
the lowly Mariners,
the Mariners' worst offense in the
league.
We're
gonna get healthy.
Yeah, they got pretty healthy.
Yeah,
they rocked some pitching, so to speak. You know, Jonathan Sanchez goes 1.1 innings.
Wait, who?
Exactly.
Jonathan Giggle Sanchez.
Promptly gets designated for assignment the next day.
A few days away from being former Royal Jonathan Sanchez, hopefully.
Right. Yeah, he's got about 8 days left on that designation.
Did they not hit 10 home runs? The Mariners hit 10 home runs in this homestand.
Remember, it's hard to hit home runs at the K.
And it's the Mariners.
And those balls weren't even close. They were flying.
We got whooped by a guy named Casper Wells.
I was just going to drop. I think 15 of those home runs were by Casper Wells.
Two guys this year, Casper Wells and Trevor Plouffe, have destroyed the Royals.
Please don't say that name.
And the Twins are coming back, too.
And the funny thing is, Sanchez may take an assignment to Omaha. Can you imagine if he actually does? He would
$9 million assignment to Omaha.
Right. Well, but Mitch Meyer's pitching too, and he's down there the other day. They really need pitching down there.
He pitched a third of an inning down there.
No, he pitched more than that. It was a full inning. I thought it was a full 2 innings, but it was pretty crazy.
Let me tell you how that's going to go. Jonathan Sanchez is going to go down there, and he's going to have a good start, and then you're going to start to hear, he's putting it together down there.
He's turned the corner.
He's figured it out.
He's coming back. That's
he looks sharp. We've made adjustments.
That's the narrative.
He was tipping his pitches.
Yeah, we got him fixed, though. We got his velocity's coming back. He's looking great.
Him and Luke Hochaver, number 1 and 2 for 2013.
And we were talking about it before the show. This team is just completely thin on pitching, and it's – you know, for a while you kind of thought you could skate by, but at this point, you know, Ryan Verdugo does a spot start, and he got one more out than
not
Sanchez.
Good. It was not good.
Gave it one less run, but still wasn't a good start.
You know what kills me about that is he's a free, we had him on the Royal Man Report
back in November.
Over the winter.
Yeah.
And we have kind of developed this relationship with his sister on Twitter, all of us. She's kind of playing
awesome.
Back and forth. And she was so excited.
She was super excited.
So excited to see her brother's debut, and I haven't seen her tweet since.
She really was.
God bless her.
She really was excited even at the end, but people on Twitter have been just ruthless lately, and they took it out on
man.
Her.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot to get happy about around this club. It's certainly been a mess. It's just been a big ball of stink.
When was
is what
the last
going.
Quality start?
2006.
No, I mean, seriously. I don't remember. I'm just being serious.
It's been
when's
a long
time. We had a real
the
good
last
start.
One, I mean, I don't know it off the top of my head. So
it's been a while.
That says it.
No. All I can think of is when Hochaver had those back-to-back good starts.
That's right.
That's true.
Before the break.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well before
seven
the break.
Games.
Maybe
one more ago.
Late June?
Yeah.
Well, surely the T-Bones are doing better, right? Let's you want to go around the horn, around the baseball horn?
T-Bones are making up some ground. I mean, we've covered them every week here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
That's why they're covering up ground.
And Wichita was looking like they were going to run away with it. But Wichita, in their last 10 games, they've gone 2-8. The T-Bones have gone 5-5. And right now, they stand only 3 games behind them.
And that is a Wingnuts, isn't it?
Yes.
Wichita Wingnuts. Yeah.
Wichita Wingnuts.
Yeah.
Well done.
American Association. So
circle gets the square. For
they're making up some ground. They're 32-27 on the year. So playing some good baseball over there.
He totally would be the center square, though, wouldn't he? In Hollywood Squares? In Kansas City Baseball Vault Hollywood Squares?
Just because that... Just
or would I
guy,
be center square?
The center square guy was like 180? Is that
what
you're getting
at? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You are our Whoopi Goldberg.
The center square was always the most famous person, and they had a long-term stay, so it would have to be you, Chris, because you're the most
me?
Famous
okay,
person
all right,
on
well,
here.
Well, there you go.
Congratulations.
I will take that. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You are
that.
Our Joan Rivers. I'm
more of a Rip Taylor type guy, but maybe that's just... I don't know.
Whereas,
anyway, back
whereas
to baseball.
Jeff and I are sitting in the corners.
You guys are up on the wings, up at the top.
We're throwing stuff down at you.
We're the contestants.
Anyway, looking at the minor leagues, we're going back to baseball here.
Well, I'm just proud to be part of the square, you know.
You're there. You're right. You got it, baby. Like
you're just happy to be in the bottom right.
Whatever.
Boy, did we get this thing off the rails quick. Sorry.
Anyway, it's a big night for Royals minor league pitching. Jake Odorizzi goes tonight for Omaha. Mike Montgomery is pitching down at Northwest Arkansas. And Jason Adams pitching for Wilmington. So those are three big-name prospects that are going tonight. And hopefully Odorizzi's pitched well. Jason Adams put together two of his best starts of the year.
And any one of those three could be pitching next week.
really
Kansas.
Could.
You know, at a
Not
certain
Montgomery,
point,
though. He's going down instead of up.
At a certain point, you're going to run into a spot where Jake Odorizzi has to come up just because there's nobody left.
Montgomery's going to figure it out because Jason Kendall's going to get him set right.
Is that what
we signed him for?
That's the only guess I could make.
Yeah,
Jason Kendall's not going to play.
This is actually turning
City
into
again.
An actual Bull Durham movie, is what it is.
Crash Davis.
Yeah. Crash Davis.
Yeah, they want him. They want him as an on-field coach, and I knew it as soon as I saw the signings. It didn't make sense for him to bring him back.
I know they had talked about when he was playing for us. Right. That just make him a coach. Just don't even cut him. Just turn him into a coach. So I guess that's what they've done. So.
Yeah, it's something that they haven't done. I mean, they've done it before. Aaron Giles signed during spring training, and everybody was confused. Why did Aaron Giles sign with the Royals? And no, it's just because, you know, there's only so many.
He'll be managing the A fall league team somewhere.
Yeah, and it's like Vance Wilson did the same thing. I mean, he could have been easily assigned to Omaha when they signed him in 2009, I believe it was. And now he's the manager down in Wilmington, and he's one of the best, you know, minor league managers in the game.
Give me a Bubba Starling update, please.
Bubba Starling is he's hitting .268. His slugging's doing pretty well, and he's taking a lot of walks. So that's really good to see for a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience. At least he's taking some walks. He's not getting ahead of himself. He's willing to take some pitches. You know, he's still young. He's hit a couple of homers. The real guys down there in Burlington, Patrick Leonard has 8 homers. Fred Ford, who was a draft pick this year, has 7. Kenny Dykroger, he has 6. You know, so that's really cool to see those guys really jump into it. A couple of those guys are college guys.
Speaking of future and way future, I was looking at this today.
Yeah.
A guy by the name of Adalberto Mondesi.
The
Torpedo Boat. son of Raul Mondesi, right?
Yes.
Former major leager.
Yeah.
We signed him last year, I believe.
Last July.
It's only 11.
And he's like 13.
And he's hitting .313
at
Idaho Falls. It's only 16 games, but he's hitting .313 at Idaho Falls.
He's 16 years old.
He's the youngest player in all minor league baseball.
And he's in Idaho Falls. I mean, it's pretty unprecedented for them to put a guy there. And Elia Hernandez is on that same team. And they're both 16-year-old signees from last July. So it's really kind of cool. Another guy that we got to talk about, Kyle Zimmer, finally made his professional debut. He's pitched in 2 games.
Fixed his groin.
Everything seems to be in tip-top shape.
He's turned it around.
Yeah, he's thrown 5 innings.
We're just going to start early on Zimmer. He's already turned it around, guys.
Preemptive Tommy John surgery.
I just give them all Tommy John right when they sign the paper.
Just get that year out of the way.
You know, I've been doing a lot of research for stuff on pitching on this article I'm writing, and we've heard of this. That people have come
preemptively
to doctors
when they're
said,
like 14, 15 or
perform,
something.
Yeah, will you perform Tommy John on my surgery on my son? Because they hear things like, "Oh, a pitcher has Tommy John, and then he comes back
and they throw
is
harder."
Throwing with more
will you give
velocity.
Me a lobotomy?
But the thing is, they throw harder not because of the surgery, but because of the rehab
from the surgery.
That's
the response from the doctors,
right? So. Anyway, Kyle Zimmer, he has 8 strikeouts in those 5 innings. He's given up only 3 hits and no walks, so he's going to be probably in Kane County before too long.
Or maybe Kansas City.
He's 22, so.
All right, when we come back, we are going to have Tyrone Brooks from the Pittsburgh Buccaneers Pirates. They called them the Buccaneers the other day. Anyway, we're going to have him on the line here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510 AM.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Among the laborers at Royal Stadium is a sheet metal worker who dreams of playing here. This unlikely dream was given wing when Frank White passed a tryout for Ewing Kauffman's new baseball academy.
The Vault.
It's hard to find quality work at reasonable prices for all your home repair needs. With Kermsey Construction, we can give you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. We are licensed and insured. With 30 years of experience, we give free estimates and are log home certified. Call Kermsey Construction at 816-419-4232. Serving Jackson County and all surrounding areas. 816-419-4232. If it has to do with your home, we can fix it.
T-Bones Baseball, celebrating 10 years of fun well done. Bring the whole family out for sizzling action this summer at Community America Ballpark, where parking is always free and tickets start at just $6.50. Kids eat free Monday. Great giveaways and 20-ounce beers on Tuesday. Dollar hot dogs and post-game catch on the field Wednesday. Dollar beer Thursday. Falcons skydivers on Friday. Post-game fireworks on Saturday. Pre-game player autographs and post-game kids run the bases on Sunday. Follow the T-Bones on Facebook for up-to-the-minute promotions and game day events. Group tickets, party decks, and nightly suites available. Get your tickets at the box office. Any Community America branch. Call 913-328-5618 or purchase and print your tickets at tbonesbaseball.com.
The T-Bones are out of town until July 24th when they take on the St. Paul Saints at 7:05 at Community America Ballpark. T-Bones Baseball, that is fun. Well done. Welcome back to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm Chris Kammler. We're joined by Michael Engel, Troy Olson, Jeff Logan, Jeff Herr. We are privileged to bring on to the line in the Kansas City Baseball Vault Tyrone Brooks from the Kansas City Pirates from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Man, I'm off the rails already, Mr. Brooks. It's about 156 degrees here in Kansas City. Please tell me it's a nice, you know, comfortable 72 over there.
Here in Pittsburgh, we actually had some. It's cooled off nicely thanks to some rain that came through this this early evening. So it actually feels pretty good at the moment.
I'm jealous.
We haven't had any of that rain stuff here in months, it feels like.
It rained last night. But anyway, we're not here for a weather report. Pirates are doing well. You guys are, you know, only a half game down. You guys are off today. I think St. Louis won earlier. You know, things looking really good for the Pirates. It gives us some hope here in Kansas City as a small market team. What's that like? You know, things like the competitive balance lottery yesterday designed to help some smaller markets, but what's your general approach as a smaller market to acquiring talent, retaining that talent and developing it to where you can now contend for a division title?
And the biggest thing for us in the kind of market that we're in is mainly us being able to hopefully find, scout, and just develop players. For us, that's the biggest route that we've tried to take. And with the way the system is in place, and even before, we tried to do as much as we could for our signing and developing talent. Obviously, the new CBA rules did make some adjustments how everything is actually handled as far as trying to the process of doing things and how much you can actually spend. But we've really just tried to use the draft as our biggest thing. And it was one area for us to technically just try to even the playing field. And with the new the compensation pick that we were able to get yesterday, so that's just another case of us hopefully having an opportunity to hopefully sign and hopefully select a guy that can truly help us some point down the road.
Now, those competitive picks, this is going to be new this coming year, and I was reading some rumors online, and apparently as part of the Garza trade, the Cubs are looking at teams that are going to get one of those picks because they consider those picks valuable. That's something they won the Garza deal. How valuable is that pick to a team like the Royals or the Pirates?
For us, it's definitely something we realize it's important for us as far as getting another opportunity to select hopefully a quality player. But the case where obviously when you look at the situation, if there's an opportunity presents itself where you can hopefully get something that can help you in the very near future or immediately, then you have to really strongly think about the idea of it moving that pick. But for us, for the most part, it's a case for us trying to hopefully use that pick itself to hopefully select a good player for down the road.
One of the hallmarks of the Royals is that they've had a strong farm system, and a lot of that has been at the hands of Dayton Moore. And you actually worked with Moore in the late 90s with Atlanta, as well as John Scherholz. He's kind of come under fire here in Kansas City. You know, there's a lot of frustration. This was supposed to be the year where the Royals start to contend, and people are questioning kind of his timeline of how long it would take to get the Royals back into contention. for the Pirates. And Neil Huntington came in at the end of 2007, and here you guys are now about a year and a half ahead of the Royals as far as competing. What do you see as for yourself and as an organization? What's the kind of approach as to what the timeline should be to get your minor league players up and to contend at the major league level for a division title or a pennant?
You know, if you look at it, it's a tough process, and we clearly understand with the Royals and what they're going through as far as, you know, the players that they have in their system, trying to get those, you know, hopefully, you know, draft some good players, and also then at that point sign and get them signed and develop. But it's definitely a something that's a work in progress as far as every organization is trying to do that. But it's a process that, I mean, you have to just go through. You're probably going to take some lumps, just like we did, definitely. But hopefully you have a case where you can hopefully make some strong drafts just to hopefully get yourself in position to do that, so hopefully get some guys to the big leagues. And obviously each team, each organization has to decide their time frame as far as the players that they're trying to select. If you're going to obviously pick, you know, some high school players, it's going to obviously take a little longer than the college players. So something you just have to, as an organization, just have to try and decide. We've typically signed a lot of young high school players for the most part here with our organization, but we've been very fortunate. There were still some players that were already in the system before Neil took over that have come up and obviously come in and also made a positive impact. You know, the Andrew McCutchins and the Neil Walkers were all guys that were drafted prior to Neil coming in. So it's a case where hopefully you still have something there plus whatever else you can add to it. But also just having a mindset and also having a philosophy and hopefully sticking with that and hopefully but not being afraid to tweak the process as you go along.
We're talking with Tyrone Brooks, the Director of Player Personnel for the Pittsburgh Pirates here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We had an opportunity to meet him a couple weeks ago at All-Star Game at our event with the Baseball Prospectus. And Tyrone, we have a little rundown we print out here that has little bullet points and questions. And this bullet point reads: Andrew McCutchin is awesome. You know, I suppose we're supposed to probably ask you a question about Andrew McCutchin at some point in time, but he's pretty awesome, isn't he?
How awesome
is Andrew McCutchin?
he's obviously an incredible player. Obviously, this year made tremendous strides in just about every facet of his game. So it's something that, you know, you just hope a player starts to mature and understand as they go through their life in the big leagues, realizing how people are going to try to pitch them and also just continue to get better. You know, he did some things this offseason, obviously worked with his swing a little bit too. And also just physically, just getting himself ready and be prepared to deal with the grind of 162 games. So I think you got to give him a lot of credit for what he did this year, for this offseason, just to get himself ready for this year.
And Tyrone, you kind of talked about building through the draft and picking picking young players that are going to be able to help your team, and that's how you guys will compete. And you, recently, the Pirates organization has had a couple top overall draft picks. Jameson Taillon, you're gonna have to help me with that name. I think I'm pronouncing that right, Taillon.
Yeah, Taillon.
Okay. And then Garrett Cole. I mean, how are those? Like, what did you guys see about them that you wanted to make them such high draft picks? And how are they doing now as to kind of their process and working towards getting to the major leagues?
Well, with both guys, one of the toughest things for each organization is to do is to develop pitching. And we just felt in those two guys, those were two guys that we thought that, you know, physically off of what we saw and mentally, that there was an opportunity for those guys to hopefully have a chance to be, you know, starters that can really have a true impact down the road, especially in Pittsburgh. And with both those guys, they've each made considerable progress coming in. And, obviously, Garrett Cole has already moved up to Double-A so far and was in the Futures game along with Taillon as well. Both those guys are both making very good progress for us. The one thing we're going to keep doing with those guys is giving them the opportunity, but not trying to rush those guys to the big leagues. Make sure they're going through the steps they need to get better, continuing to learn, and hopefully when that chance does come, they're ready to move and get themselves to the big leagues.
I think that's important because, you know, pitching is the backbone of everything. If you've got strong pitching, you can overcome a lot of weaknesses. The Royals system, it looked like at the start of last year we had a lot of pitching in the system, and none of it's really come to pass. There's been injuries, ineffectiveness, and things like that. What kind of markers do you look for with guys like Gerrit Cole and Jameson Taillon, where maybe they've hit a wall in their development, maybe they plateaued, if they need to make adjustments? What kind of things do you look for to point that out for you as an organization?
Well, a lot of that, you know, especially deals with our pitching coordinators that involve dealing with those guys and making sure there's a plan in place for each guy, realizing what things they need to improve upon, what areas that they see that they've made the most progress with. It's just a continual learning process for those guys, and just also to dealing with the adversity, because that's going to happen during the course of their time in the minor leagues. You look at, there was some time even earlier this year where Jameson Taillon was having some struggles, but it's good that the guys will go through these type of situations and then from there understand what they need to do to get out of that and then continue to have success from them. Whatever you can do to give them exposure to those type of opportunities are great learning opportunities for them. So,
and we're talking with Tyrone Brooks, the director of player personnel for the Pittsburgh Pirates. We got just a few more minutes here with Tyrone. Along those same lines, you talked about your pitching instructors and everyone talking about, you know, helping the process of people like Gerrit Cole and Jameson Taillon. As an organization, how do you approach handling a pitcher, especially a couple of high-end prospects like that, when they've got to move through so many different levels of the system? How do you ensure that you're preaching a consistent message and that everything is working together through all different levels to keep those pitchers on the right track?
You know, you look at, and obviously last year with Taillon, he was on pretty much a limited pitch count during the course of last year, just to kind of ease him into everything. And then this year, the reins were taken a little bit off. Just now, he's had got a chance to get his feet wet. Obviously, Gerrit Cole and what he had in college, he had, with all that experience he had from that, he's obviously a little ahead of everything as far as and just having a chance to pitch for Team USA and all that. So it's just a little different there. But obviously with each guy, still having a framework for how to make sure they understand things about their delivery, arm action, and just how they go about it as far as, you know, learning the process as far as pitch selection and things like that with working with the catcher and all that. It's just a continual process. You just hope that each guy is going to go back and grasp these concepts as they go along, realizing when they get to the big leagues, it's a case where you're going to have to deal with adversity, but also just the whole idea when you go into knowing how to attack a hitter.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're very pleased and proud for you to take a few minutes to talk to us, and we were real excited to meet you in Kansas City. Did you enjoy your time at the All-Star game, and did you get any, you know, see anything cool or eat any barbecue or anything along those lines?
You know, I had the great fortune of living in Kansas City from 2000 to 2002 when I was an area scout in the area when I worked for Atlanta. So for me, coming back to Kansas City is always like coming back to home. And for me, Kansas City has a real special place in my heart. So it's, for me, I had a great chance to go back, see some, you know, old colleagues and friends. Did have a chance to stop in and have some barbecue as well. Had a little Gates barbecue while I was there, so it was nice to be back. And also just to see, you know, what the Royals have done as far as with Kauffman Stadium and everything they've done there with all the improvements there. It's giving them a great home for their team. So I definitely enjoyed coming back to Kansas City and always welcome the opportunity to go back.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of Kansas City fans are also fans of the Pirates because we want to be exactly where you guys are in the next year or two. So go eat them up this year and make the playoffs and get yourself to a World Series, and we'll definitely be watching your guys' progress.
No, I appreciate it. I know Dayton and J.J. Piccolo and those guys are going to get things going in the right direction for the organization. I know they've already done that with some of the guys that have gotten to the big league so far, and I definitely expect things to be successful down the road.
Well, that's Tyrone Brooks. He's the director of player personnel for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it's Kansas City Baseball Vault. We'll be right back right after these messages.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
May all your good fortunes be as numerous as blades of grass and then some.
The Vault.
The Brad Westmar Show with your host, Brad Westmar.
We had a great time with your wife, Matt, and we were glad to have Stacey on.
No, it wasn't what I meant.
And co-host Jared Afkar plus Magic Matt.
I was trying to put together a little trip for us this summer, and I was asking her about going to a concert, and she's like, you know, I think I'd just rather go see a Royals game.
Wow.
That's sick. That's mentally off the reservation.
All right, Jared.
It's radio like you've never heard before.
Very sad.
That's what I hear.
Download the latest episode of the Brad Westmar Show at bradwestmar.com.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmen, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
Welcome back to the Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510 AM. It's the dog days of summer. And I want to tell you briefly about J Catering. They specializing in all your corporate and business needs. Man, I can't talk to you. What's my problem? Just call Jeff. He's right over here. He'll pick up the phone. He'll answer it. He'll bring you some food. 913-961-0929. He's a good guy too, despite what you know. He sounds
just
like here on the baseball
right
ball. I'll just stop.
Cut it off. Yeah.
I'll okay. just be done with that.
Yeah.
They are a proud sponsor of the Kansas City Baseball Vault, and we are proud to know him. And work with him on a weekly basis. Also, very, very excited to talk to Sal Bando, who is on the line right now on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Sal was he started his career with the Kansas City Athletics for a couple of years and went over and captained the Oakland Athletics through their championship seasons. He's a 3-time World Series champion, a 4-time All-Star. Mr. Bando, welcome to the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Well, guys, it's good to be here and talking with you.
We're super excited to talk to you now. Tell us a little bit about your time in Kansas City. It was very brief. You were drafted in '66, played '67 and '68 in Kansas City, and then went over to Oakland. Those teams weren't terribly good back then until they got to Oakland. But tell us a little bit about your start here.
Well, obviously, I signed with then the Kansas City A's. In 1965, and then in 1966, my second year, I was called up the last month of the year, and that went fine. It was like being in heaven for me, not only being in the major leagues, but Kansas City was a great town. And then the next year, I started off in AAA, was called up in May, played about a month, was sent back down and then called up again at the end of the year. And then we moved to Oakland the next year. And that really was the end of my time in Kansas City, except to come in as a visiting player.
Hey, Sal, it's Jeff Logan from the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. I'm the one that always bugs you on the phone, so you might know me. Did you know when you were here in Kansas City what was to come? Did you realize all the great players they had amassed and really what was – for, you know, to come in Oakland when you got out there?
Well, I knew we had good players in the minor leagues because we all played together and we were winning in the minor leagues. I didn't know how it was all going to fit in with the major leagues or which guys would make it. But eventually we had a very strong nucleus that went on to Oakland. And I think our first year in Oakland we finished at .500 with a lot of young guys. So, we knew we were on the right track, and then you hopefully add some players here and there, and we all got better and things started to come together.
Because you came out of Arizona State, I believe, and Reggie, of course, played there and pretty much came one year after another.
Right, right.
And then all the other great players. I mean, you got to play with Dick Green and Joe Rudy and Campanaris, and the pitching staff was such an amazing staff, and that carried on to Oakland. And you know, of course, as a Kansas City fan, we're sorry you left. But
well, we never should have left. I mean, quite frankly, Oakland, you know, turned out not to be a very supportive community. We never drew a million people, other than when we had half price Monday night. For fans, that got us to a million fans. So I think Kansas City was the right place to stay. But, you know, he was looking for a new stadium, a different venue, and he went to Oakland.
Well, and, you know, Missouri Senator wasn't really a big fan of Charlie Finley's, and he said Oakland is the luckiest city since Hiroshima when they went out there. So, you know, not a great love affair with Charlie Finley here. And of course, Charlie tried to pretend that, you know, it was the biggest mistake of his career is moving the team, but I'm not sure he really meant that. What was your memories of Charlie?
Well, I mean, there's good and bad. Early on, they were good because he was very supportive. As the team got to be successful, he became more difficult to work with and to work for. And he did some things that, you know, in the long term, it was helpful to the team. So it's a hodgepodge of different emotions. But the fact is, he did go out and spend some money early on to get some good players like Catfish Hunter, Blue Moon Odom, you know, and that made us a winner.
Now, you were named captain of the Oakland A's right at the beginning of this reign. And so you were pretty much at the forefront of I would say conflicts, I guess, with Charlie O through the Oakland years. You wore an armband during the 1976 World Series and kind of in protest of the ownership. I read an article where there was, you kind of threatened to, as a team, to all kind of walk off the field because of steps that Finley was taking to bench guys and take guys out of the lineup. Here in Kansas City, we have had a kind of a similar. Well, we've had an interesting situation with a pitcher, Jonathan Sanchez, who the fans have not seemed to take kindly to his work ethic, his motivation. He hasn't really put much production up, and he ended up getting DFA'd last week. My question to you would be, as a captain of a baseball team, what are those responsibilities that go on with a captainship? You know, is it on the field? Is it off the field? Is it just in the clubhouse? You know, tell me a little bit about what being a captain of a baseball team means.
Well, in my situation, I was named captain by Hank Bauer, and it was my second full year, and I hadn't finished my second full year. We were in the middle of my second full year, and he called me in, and he said, I want to name you captain. And I said, well, I mean, you sure you want to do this? I mean, I've only played a little over a year in the major leagues. He said, you don't want it? I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, are you sure? Is that something you want to do? He said, yeah. I think you're acting as a captain by the way you are on the field and your intensity and how you're into the game. And so that's how it started. The one thing I always made sure is, though, I never put myself above anybody baseball-wise. So it had nothing to do with getting hits or you know, catching the ball, because those are all physical tools that we all have different tools. Mine was, we have to be intense. We have to care about winning. We have to play hard. We have to take care of ourselves. And those are the things that, and I was into the game in terms of the scouting report and reminded the pitchers and stuff like that, but never, you know, get on a guy because he didn't get a hit or he's loafing. That's not my job. That's up to the manager.
Have you been able to determine maybe what traits he saw in that? I mean, as you look at the rest of your career, you know, three-time World Series champion with the A's, a longtime veteran with the Milwaukee Brewers, a general manager later of the Milwaukee Brewers, and now you're the CEO of a company. There's got to be some sort of managerial type trait that he saw, Hank Bauer saw in you way back then.
Well, I think what Hank saw, one, even though I was a young guy, I wasn't intimidated by the veterans. Two, my intensity to win was real. It wasn't fake. And he knew how much I was into the game. And I think having a young team, because obviously none of the veterans fit that role, or he would have named them. And the nucleus of our team was young, so I guess he felt I was the one out of that group of guys. Plus, when you think about it, my position was an advantage to be a captain. In the infield, communicate with the catcher and the pitcher. If you're an outfielder, that's much more difficult. Or a shortstop or second baseman, you know, I'm right there close to the action. So I think that also made it advantageous.
That's great. And as the general manager later in your career, the Brewers, I read somewhere that you were one of the first ones to use some sort of metrics, either sabermetrics or statistics while the GM to kind of develop and rank and rate players.
Well, I was made aware of a program that was developed by some outside people that ranked, you know, all the players and was based on actual factual information, where they hit the ball, how hard they hit it, you know, what the score of the game, so you don't get misled by guys piling up good statistics when the game's out of hand. And, you know, it was very helpful. And, you know, I also recognize that there are more ways to skin a cat, and it's not just looking at a guy and seeing how he's playing. There's other attributes that he has and other information that'll help you make that decision.
So when you first hear about this program and you first say, you know, I want to use this, I want to utilize this, and it's something that, you know, most people haven't utilized in your position or around the league, you know, was there any kind of blowback from that? Like, were there people that were resistant? I mean, we all saw Moneyball last year, where you see Billy Beane tries new tactics and new ways of evaluating and all the old scouts. I mean, it was just a movie and it wasn't exactly realistic.
Yeah, it wasn't
quite
accurate.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
there was
but,
no blowback, because I went to Mr. Selig and I said, I'd like to be able to purchase this program. And he said, look, I'm all for anything that helps the evaluation process. And that's all it was. It just, and I mean evaluation of not our players, but the league's players, mm-hmm. so that we have more input to go along with our scouting reports. Because as good as scouts may be, they're not seeing every game, and they know exactly what this guy's done. You know, they might pick up the paper and see he went 2-for-4. They don't know what kind of hits they were or what the situation necessarily was. So that's what I wanted.
So you worked under Charlie O, who's been in baseball, generalized as one of the most hated owners in baseball. And then you worked under Bud Selig, who is probably the most hated man in baseball history, at least in my lifetime since the 80s. What was it like, I guess, working for those guys, and how do you compare or contrast the two?
Well, I guess I don't know why you'd feel that way about Bud, but that's up to you. I can tell you this, it's like oil and water. Bud was as good an owner, I think, as there ever has been. He loved his players. He loved the game of baseball, and that was most important to him. I've seen him help players that nobody knows about, that were down and out on their luck, and he did things for them and never asked for anything in return. On the other hand, I played for an owner who was, in Charlie Finley, who a lot of times was very vindictive, whose ego was bigger than any player, and he didn't necessarily want to win at times. He just wanted to have the upper hand. So I see a big difference in the two.
Well, and just to clarify what I was saying, it's not my personal opinion of Selig. I've never met the guy. He was very nice when I yelled at him and said hello. He waved back at the stadium last year. It was kind of the opinion of like the baseball fan, because he's the commissioner and he's come in through the steroid era and everything with the All-Star game, what have you. So that I just wanted to clarify that. I wasn't saying my personal opinion, yeah. But this is the KC Baseball Vault. We're on here with Sal Bando. I'm sorry. He played for both the Kansas City and Oakland A's, and then finally went on to become a front office man with Milwaukee. I guess my final question for you is, how has baseball changed? Like, you were a GM with Milwaukee, you know, years and years ago, and now you've got these big time contracts. And you were there at a time when you just kept players, right? And you didn't really have to worry about free agency. And so what was it?
No, we had free agency. I was a general manager. My first really full year was the start of the winter of 90, One.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was before that.
Yeah, so we had free agency. I actually was a general manager when it really became the start of big market, small market. Mm-hmm. And we were a small market team. We were losing money. We had to make some adjustments for expenses. We had to try to get back where we kept our head above water. Now, what's changed since I was there is revenue sharing. And that makes a big difference for smaller markets. Now, there are a lot of different rules that come into play to share in revenue, but now the Milwaukee Brewers, the Kansas City Royals, the small market teams get an influx of income at the end of the year that help them to build their baseball team for next year. And we never had that, so we were running on a shoestring and trying to make ends meet and still be competitive.
Well, Sal, it sounds like you had – well, you did have such an amazing career. It sounds like you should be back in baseball with all your knowledge.
Yeah, what are you doing now? Come on to Kansas City, man.
Well, look, baseball was good to me. I love the game of baseball, but life goes on, and we're all called to do different things, and baseball was a part of my life, but not the most important part of my life.
You play a little golf now, don't you?
I play some golf and enjoy my kids and grandkids and Just God has been good.
And we are going to get you back to Kansas City, and that's next summer, because Blue Moon Odom and Campanaris and Krause and all the guys said that they're going to drive up there and get you. So you better make plans to come out next June.
All right, will do.
Well, thanks, and I appreciate you coming on, Sal.
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, this is Kansas City Baseball Vault. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Blasted to center. Back goes Rasmus. Grand slam, Mike Moustakas.
The Vault.
Hey Siri, what's good to listen to tonight?
I have several books on tape. Perhaps one about your drinking problem?
No. What kind of podcasts do you have?
I have an excellent podcast for Royals fans. It's called The Royalman Report.
Oh yeah? What's it about?
It's about everything Royals and Kansas City sports. There's statistics, analysis, and lots of off-topic humor.
Can you tell me where to find it?
No, I'm only a cell phone.
Seriously?
No, I'm just joking. I'm quite the comedian. You can find the Royalman Report at royalmanreport.com or kingsofkaufman.com or catch the show live, Sundays at 7 p.m.
Thanks, Siri. You're really helpful. Catch the Royal Man Report every Sunday night at 7, live on royalmanreport.com or anytime on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
So, a doctor, a lawyer, and Chris gets walk into a bar.
The Brad Westmar Show with your host, Brad Westmar.
We had a great time with your wife, Matt, and we were glad to have Stacey on.
No, it wasn't what I meant.
And co-host Jared Afkar plus Magic Matt.
I was trying to put together a little trip for us this summer, and I was asking her about going to a concert, and she's like, you know, I think I'd just rather go see a Royals game.
Wow.
That's sick. That's mentally off reservation.
All right, Jared.
It's radio like you've never heard before.
Very sad.
That's what I hear.
Download the latest episode of the Brad Westmar Show at bradwestmar.com.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmon, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
Welcome back to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. That is the wonderful music of 49 Stones, big friend of our organization. Also want to tell you that segment was sponsored by Senior Healthcare Specialists. For all your senior healthcare needs, as well as getting through those retirement years, please call Ray, 913-449-6508. He's a good guy. They specialize in Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. And you know what? They're both Kansas and Missouri licensed insurance professionals. A great sponsor of the Vault, Senior Healthcare Specialists. Please call Ray at 913-449-6508. Shane, you had something to add to the program, sir.
Well, we were talking about quality starts.
Yes.
And I looked up the last quality start, which was actually a loss, and the last quality start that was a win. You guys have any guess? It was done by the same person.
Luis Mendoza.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Wow.
Of course it is.
That was what I was going to say originally, and I wasn't positive, but the Hochever one sounded sooner.
No,
so.
I remember he had like seven innings the his last start.
Saturday was a loss. Mendoza went seven innings, gave up two runs. It was June 29th against the Twins when Mendoza went eight innings with one earned.
Dozer, going to get us back on track.
I sent that out on Twitter last night. I said, you know, I mean, we've reached the point in the season where Luis Mendoza is the best pitcher on the Royals pitching staff.
That's
terrifies
the point.
Me to
this
no
is
end.
July 19th.
I mean, it's been bad here in Kansas City before, but I got to think this is a new level. And actually, while we're on this topic,
what do you got,
Jeff? I'd like to
talk
throw out
to
a
me,
question
baby.
Here.
Yeah.
Typically, when I look at the Royals and I think rock bottom, I think 2005.
It can always get worse.
56 and 106, 2005.
Yeah.
Now, when I look back at that 2005 team, I don't know if I can name a single player on it. I mean, I'm sure, like, I think
Brian Anderson.
Mike Sweeney was on the team. And,
Ken Harvey.
You know, having injury issues. But
Kerry
point
Robinson.
Is, point is. Is this season, who knows what their record will end up being, but it's not going to be good. And would this season almost be worse just because there's so much
the
more talent on this? Not
even I
the
say
expectations.
No.
Just
I say no, and I'll tell you
so
why.
There's so much more talent on this team than 05. Tell me why, Chris.
I say no, and I tell you why. Because that was 05 happened to be the year that I got season tickets for the first time for a few years. And I went out. We went out there and just watched this team flail and flail and flail. The 2012 Royals still have a little bit of excitement in them. There's more named guys. You got guys on the upswing of their career. That was that the Jose Guillen season,
yet,
but it was that type of deal. Angel Baroa. I think the mass of future these guys have ahead of them is greater than the mass of future those guys had ahead of them. So.
But doesn't that make just as underperforming as they are just that
no.
much worse?
Look at the glass half full, Jeff. Don't look at the glass half empty. If I've told you this, I've told you 1,000 times. Mr. Negative Nancy over there.
Because the fake Ned would never have a negative thought.
Yeah. We're all about happiness and joy.
I'm just posing
a
question here. I don't believe I've shared my opinion on this topic.
Oh, would you please? I bet you're about to.
It stings.
I think I said is this rock bottom? And everybody reminded me the Twins are coming into town this weekend. So no, rock bottom will be after we get swept by the Twins this weekend.
I was pretty excited coming into that 05 season. But just because, I mean... We had 03, and then 04 was awful. I thought, you know, with 05,
they signed Juan Gonzalez, had Benito Santiago.
You know, I thought maybe it was gonna come better, but I don't know if I've ever felt as bad as I do right now.
We were having a perfectly nice show. We were talking to a front office person from a first place contending team.
Yeah.
Maybe so. It wasn't from the Royals. That's okay.
Still counts.
Telling Sal Bando how much we hate his former owner. I mean, you know, I mean, that was cool.
That was totally wrong.
Here's the thing, Chris. If I would be doing myself and this show a disservice if I did not pose the question.
No, you're right, Jeff. you are right as usual.
Okay. So checking in with our friends on Twitter real quick. This is great from our good friend Orb is Lame. He said, tying back into what we were talking about in the show earlier, only if Mike Montgomery was Nuke Lelouch. I like that one.
That's kind of the dynamic.
Yeah.
Where would this team be if we had our three best pitchers? That didn't
Oakland.
Get hurt. No, that didn't get hurt.
I think you're right. It'd be a different season.
Because if Danny Duffy was still in this rotation, we would be just fine.
Felipe Paulino.
We wouldn't be racing towards 100
Danny
losses.
Danny Duffy
that's
and Felipe Paulino.
Two
it's
months
a very
of starts that you don't have to fill in with Will Smith. You don't have to fill in with Ryan Verdugo. You don't have to fill in with Vin
Nazar. The 96 guys that are in Omaha.
With those guys healthy, they got to the point where they were, 34 and 39 at the 35 and 39 at the best? Were they four games under?
Yeah,
and that was even after they lost
four
Duffy.
Games under and
yeah, and that
Paulino
was after Duffy had been
gone
for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think Paulino had like just gotten hurt. But point is, with those guys in, they gain some momentum. So that's a very good point, Jeff. I mean, it's a different season if they're not dealing with the injuries. But you know what? That's part of the game.
Yeah.
They're supposed to.
They need
Dayton
to have
Moore's
the depth to handle
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Dayton
Moore
has been here for 6 years, and he should have been able to build the depth at this point to be able to account for a couple injuries because you have to.
Yep.
But even this would be a different pitching staff if Joaquin Soria didn't get hurt because then your bullpen's a whole lot different. You know?
I don't know if that's
you'd at least have two wins that you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's the case either. Yeah. Is he, how's he going to be better than last year?
Well, yeah. I mean,
because
just,
he's better than last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's,
I mean,
not
he's
hurt,
got a track record here. From 2007 to 2010 where he was among the best closers in the game.
Maybe
last year,
with Crow,
his strikeouts
yeah.
and his walks per nine innings were just the same as they were. He gave up a few more hits. If he gives up two less hits per nine innings, then he's in the same spot.
But all the same. But yeah, exactly. Same. He's about the same. If you know, because he even before 2010 where he had his amazing season. He had 37 straight saves or whatever it was. You know, but outside of that, he's not immune to the blown save either. So it's not like you know, Broxton has been given a lot more heart
he's
attacks
just so
and whatnot. But he's
he's a hoot.
He's save percentage wise. You know, I don't know that Joaquin Soria would be getting us much different right now.
Also from Twitter, Royaling 2012, listening to the show, remarking on Tyrone's interview. He says, something must be broken in Pittsburgh. He doesn't hear anything about the Pirates being good citizens or people.
Wah, wah,
that's a definite Jeff Francoeur, Ned Yost, Dayton Moore, must have good players.
Hey, I'll tell you what. If
good people players.
If you got if those of you on Twitter and those of you listening out there in Radio Land enjoy this type of debate and this type of sports commentary, well, have we got something for you. We now have two podcasts on Sundays at echonetwork.com. We have the Echo Sports Report, hosted by the dulcet-toned Jeff Herr, and we also have the Royal Man Report. Let's see, the sports show is at 5, and then the Royal show is at 7. We'll soon be adding another show at 3. Oh, good Lord. That's all going on in my basement, guys. It's just way too much going on.
When do the divorce papers come from your wife?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, about 2 years ago, she's got them started. But, you know, Echo Network's going to have all these podcasts on. We're going to have backlog episodes of the Baseball Vault. We're going to have some fun this summer, just talking, rapping.
And we're going to have a lot more exclusive content from a lot of writers, doing a lot of things, bringing a lot of people on board. The Echo Network, so echonetwork.com.
I'm trying to talk Shane into writing an article. You like comic books or something, don't you? Everybody over here like Union likes comic books.
Guys
are all
I enjoy. Dark Knight's coming out tonight.
Hey, they
you got the Batman sticker on your
He's been
your
known
car,
to partake.
Who wrote the Batman?
Brandon Nichols.
Brandon Nichols wrote an article on Echo Network right now. It's a review of the Batman
year one.
Batman deal. So
Batman year or Earth. One,
I don't know.
Sorry.
It's comic books. I don't understand.
Hey, I've got a baseball update.
Hey, so baseball update.
You nerds
hit
can, Yeah, Bubba Starling.
That just happened
in the bottom of the first.
Bubba
Burlington is hosting Danville.
Gone.
Bubba Starling. Home run to left field.
Ah, gone. Bingo, bango, bongo.
Along the same lines.
It's going to be my catchphrase, by the way.
Ready?
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Eric Hosmer, batting average, watch.
Hey, is it over 200?
222.
222.
It's not going back under 200.
Alex Gordon
is,
it might. He's struggling. He's having some problems. Alex Gordon is like 290-something, isn't it? 292, I think.
He is having a fantastic season.
He is doing well.
Ever since he's moved into the leadoff spot, he's been incredible.
Time for him
to
leave him alone.
When you took him out,
and
on
base percentage of like .415 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, a Royal.
Dayton Moore has to look at that stat and has to think, what does this even mean? Like, the number doesn't even look right because it's got a 4 instead of a 3 in front
of it. That is why we should be, you know, not so down on the Royals because of Sal Perez. That's
Lorenzo
it. I win
Cain.
The argument because
Lorenzo
of Sal Perez.
Lorenzo Cain has a 900 OPS right now.
Billy Butler, walk-off home run last night.
Man,
he was over 300 going into
the game.
He
got on base every single time last night and completely crushed
that
ball.
Did that win the bats perfect thing, whatever they talk about? Maybe it did.
If he had a perfect game, they donate $1,000 or $500 to somebody.
And he hit a homer, so he hit it a ton.
And if you look at the splits for June and July,
I will
look
at
for both Gordon and Hosmer. I mean, those guys have. Or, I'm sorry, Gordon and Butler. Those guys have both been just killing it. Their batting averages above 300, on bases above 400, OPSs.
See,
the
folks, here's what we've got. We started with negative, and we finished with the positive. The Royals,
right as we're going out,
playoff contenders next year. You could put it in the book. Thank you to Sal Bando.
What did her flip flop? He was
thank
like
you,
down.
Thank you to
up.
Sal. I'm down next year. Same bet next year.
Wow.
Flip it, and we're winning. Thank you to Sal Bando. Thank you to Tyrone Brooks. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you to Jay Catering, senior healthcare specialist, the T-Bones, We didn't even get to the trivia question. If you want to go to the T-Bones game on July 25th, send us an email.
Tweet us at KC Baseball Vault. We'll get you the tickets.
Kermsey Construction and the guys from the Royal Man Report and Echo Network, thank you for joining us on, I'll get the name right, the Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510 AM.
Go Royals. What you trying to be yourself
for? There's only one place to hear Mike and Mike in the Morning. This is ESPN 1510. KCTE, Independence, Kansas City.